All right, we'll begin to read about verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and begin to read in verse 13. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Let's bow our heads as we begin the message tonight. Now, Father, we're reminded once again of that land where we'll go and one day be with thee. And Lord, our hearts are thrilled, and may we never get to the place in our life where it doesn't thrill our hearts when we are reminded and told of that land that is fairer than day, that, Lord, one day we'll leave this life of sin and heartache and trouble behind, and, Lord, we'll fly away to be with thee forever. Father, we long for that day. At times we beg for that day to come, and, Lord, at times we just get so tired of this life and the problems that are in it. Lord, do we just get homesick for the day that we can go and leave it all behind and be with thee? And Father, we just thank you for the promise that we have, the hope that cheers us day by day and gives us, Lord, the grace to go on in this life. And Father, we thank you tonight for this time that we have to meet together. Thank you, Lord, for another evening that you've let us to come meet around the Word of God. And we pray that as the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit would bear witness to the things that are to be said. Bless the message tonight. May nothing be here that would hinder the working of thy Holy Spirit. But may you remove every demon or every evil or foul spirit and any spirit contrary to thee. May but one spirit prevail in this service tonight. May it be the Holy Spirit of God. Put all flesh down. Put everything down that would exalt or lift itself against thee. May but one person be lifted up tonight. May it be the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to any heart that's lost and without thee that they'd be saved tonight. Minister to your children, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read a portion of Scripture that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And in writing this, he likened the body of Christ to a physical body or to our body that we have. It amazes me how much when we read the Bible, how God knew how simple we really were. Whenever God wanted to teach us a great truth, he used an illustration or something that we could see so that we'd have no problem understanding what the Lord wanted us to know. And in this passage, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, who had had a few divisions in their body, a few schisms and a few breaking up. And Paul wrote to them and said, the Lord has set the members in the body as it pleased him. A lot of Christians are not content and satisfied with the position that the Lord has put you in. A lot of them are not pleased with the place that the Lord has called them to labor. But Paul clearly declares that God has placed us not as it pleases ourselves, but as it pleases God. And he said the body of Christ is like your physical body. That body can only operate and function properly if everything else in it operates and functions the way it ought to. And he says, even the parts that we think the more unnecessary, those are necessary. Even the parts that we think to be the most feeble, those are needed. And I don't know whether you ever looked at your body and thought about it, But sometimes there's a lot of parts in your body that you take for granted. Did you ever spend much time thinking about your nose? Some of you have one that warrants a lot of time, amen. But you think about your nose. What if it was built upside down? Every time it rains, you drown. Whenever you sneeze, you blow your hat off, amen. Now you say that's an uncomely thing, that's a little thing, but Lord knew what he was doing when he built it, amen. Did you ever dwell on your big toe much? Never thought about it, did you? Well, you get up about 3 o'clock in the morning, go run across the room and hit it on the end of the bed. And I'll tell you, you'll be thinking about it, amen. But you know what the Lord's trying to tell us? He's trying to say that every part of your body has a function or a job to perform. And even though it may be small and unimportant, and even though it may be something we never think about, it has a job to do. And tonight, if you're saved and God has made you a part of the body of Christ, you have a job and you have a function to perform, and the body of Christ will only perform and function as good as you and you doing your job and part that God has called you to do. You know, not every one of us has the same ability. The Bible said God has placed them in the body. Not everybody can be a head. Not everybody can be the eyes. We got to have a few heels just to make it right. Amen. I mean, not everybody can be the part that they want to be. But God said not everybody has the same ability. Now, that's evident tonight. I mean, we've seen some people sing, and this lady played the guitar and singing at the same time. Well, some of us can't even walk and chew chewing gum at the same time, amen? Much less to be able to walk down the street or pick up a guitar and sing at the same time. You know, I tell people wherever I go, I say, now, you came to hear Dr. Ruckman, you're in bad luck, because I'm not Dr. Ruckman. I said, if you came to see me draw, you really in bad luck, amen? I tell them the only thing I draw is flies when I don't bathe on regular occasions, amen? I've never been able to draw stick men. I couldn't even get them right proportionally. I couldn't even sit down and do them. But God has given every one of us a different ability. It's good to know what you can do and what you can't do. Somebody said, Brother Jim, why do you reckon the Lord called you to preach? Because that's the only thing I could even hit a lick at. That's why. I could never do anything. I tried some different jobs. I tried roofing one time. The guy got up there, and I got up on a roof. He grabbed a shingle and hammer. He said, there, you see how to do it? I was mad. I didn't even see what he did or nothing. He said, you know what to do? You ever see a real roofer, man? He get those nails in his hand. Choo, choo, choo. He got the shingle down. He said, you see how to do it? I didn't even see which way the shingle up. He said, you start over there. I'll start over here, man. I started. He came over to me a little bit. I had him upside down, every which way. I had the rain going up the roof and everything else. I didn't know what to do. I came to realize the Lord didn't call me to roof. Amen. I tell you, when it comes to me and a hammer, I'm like lightning. I never hit twice in the same spot. You know, not long ago, I tried, I don't want to tell you, we had some rabbits at the house. I had a little rabbit cage sitting on the ground. Kind of a messy situation, so I tried to get it up off the ground. And the wife said, why don't you get somebody to put some legs on it? I said, what do you mean somebody? I said, I'll do it myself, amen. Said, to get my little hammer and little nails, and I'll do it, amen. So I went out there, bud, and I got me some wood and nails and hammer. I fish saw it. You know, I mean, here you are, man. You're 34, intelligent. You walking around there. I got that thing out there, buddy. I put some nice new legs on it. Prettiest thing you ever seen in your life. I came back in. The wife could see it out the kitchen window. I said, now, look at there. Boy, you mean get somebody knows what they're doing. Look at them beautiful legs there on that thing. About that time, the wind blew. And when it did, that old thing went, whew, womp, just like that. And she said, I told you the Lord never called you into the carpentry business, amen. Now I could be a carpenter's helper. I could carry his hammer to him, I could bring his nails to him, but that's about as far as I could go. And you know, tonight it's good to know what you can do and what you can't do. And tonight, when I speak of abilities, I want to speak of some abilities that all of us can have, no matter how uneducated, no matter how backward or bashful or ignorant or untalented you may think you are, tonight I want to speak about some abilities that every one of us that are saved can have and put in our life. The first ability is what I call availability. Availability. You know that the beginning of Christian service is making yourself available that God can use you. Now I'm going to tell you the truth tonight. the reason that many of you are not used more of God than what you are is because you are not available for God to use you. Do you know there's only one kind of person in the Bible that God ever used, and that was a person who made themselves available that God could use them? When you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you find different kinds of men that the Lord uses from different walks of life, from different occupations, from different talents and abilities that they had. But every man in the Bible, every woman in the Bible that God ever seen fit to use was a man or a woman that came to some time in their life that came to God and said, God, I may not be much, I may not know much, I may not have much talent or ability, but God, I am available for you to use me in any way that you want. And the trouble with many of you tonight is you've never made yourself available for God to use you. Availability is one ability that every one of us can have. Every one of us, no matter how untalented, no matter how limited, no matter how backward and bashful, we can bring ourselves and give ourselves willingly to God that He can use us in His service. The Bible tells us of a woman who gave her child, Samuel, to the Lord. And sure enough, she prayed and promised the Lord that if he would give her a child, that she would give this child to the Lord and that he would serve the Lord all the days of his life. When Samuel got old enough, his mother took him to the temple just as she promised the Lord, and he lived there with Eli and stayed. The Bible tells us that one night the Lord came and spoke to Samuel. Samuel arose and went into Eli, and he said, Eli, here am I, for you called me. And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down. He went back and laid down. The voice of the Lord came again and spoke to him. He went into Eli and he said, Eli, here am I, for you called me. And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go lay down. The Bible tells us the third time the voice of the Lord came to Samuel and spoke to him. And he went into Eli and said, Eli, here am I, for surely you called me. And the Bible said that Eli then realized that it was the Lord that was calling Samuel. And he said to Samuel, the next time you hear that voice, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth thee. And the Bible said the next time that Samuel laid there, that voice spoke to him. He said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth thee. Do you know why God used Samuel? I'll tell you why God used Samuel. Because he made himself available. He made himself somebody that the Lord could use. And when the Lord needed somebody, Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth thee. Here I am. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to be? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth thee. If you're saved tonight, God has a job for you to do. If you're saved tonight, God didn't save you to sit down and sit. He saved you to get up and get. Amen. God didn't save you just to come to church and occupy a pew. He saved you so you'd get up and do. You're not just saved to come to church and take up 18 or 20 or 24 inches, however many you may take up. You're not just saved to come here and hold a place in this church and be one that's saved. It's sitting there. If God saved you, you are a part of the body of Christ. You have a job to do. You have a function to perform. Are you doing it? The Bible says that availability is one ability that all of us can have. There came a time when the nation of Israel was given to iniquity, ungodliness, and sinfulness. And the Lord said, I need somebody to go. I need somebody to tell them. And the Bible said that Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Do you know why God used Isaiah? He was available to be used. The reason that some of you are not used more of God than what you are is you're not available for service. Every time God wants you, you're too busy tied up with yourself. Every time God wants you, you're too busy tied up with your job. Every time God wants you, you're too preoccupied with something else. You have no time for God. You have no time for God's work. You have no time for God's function. You have no time to do what God wants you to do. Brothers, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. If you'll come to God and make yourself available, God will use you. Availability, coming to Him. We don't need more Christians. We just need more Christians who begin to work for Him. Somebody said, if we had more Christians, we could do something for God. I beg your pardon. If we had more Christians that were working, we could do something for God. If we had more Christians in every town in America, listen, I'm satisfied tonight that if we had in every town in America 100 Christians who loved God, feared God, served God, and gave themselves to God, you could turn that town upside down for the glory of God. When I look around, it saddens my heart to see the Christian people who have not made themselves available to God. Availability. Have you ever made yourself available? Have you ever came to the Lord and said, Lord, I know I'm not much. I may not have the intelligence that somebody else does. I may not have the ability that somebody else does. I may not know what somebody else does know. But Lord, I am available to be used in whatever way you want to use me. And you know what? You better be careful if you pray that prayer, because God will use you. I think some of you don't pray it because you're afraid of what He'll ask you. I think some of you don't make yourself available because you got a sneaking suspicion God got something for you to do. And if you made yourself available, you're just afraid He'd find you a job and something to do. Availability. We can have this ability. Doesn't take any intelligence. Doesn't take any special talents. Doesn't take any special qualities. But to come to the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. Take me. You look in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Read it from beginning to end. There isn't one person in the Bible that came to God and said, God, I want to be used of Thee, that God didn't use them. There's those in the Bible that God didn't use. You know why? They weren't available. They weren't available for God to use them at that time. I know of a man now who, when he was saved, could not read nor write. And right now, he's pastoring a church. He got in some tapes on the Bible, began to listen to those tapes, learned how to read and write listening to those tapes. Right now, today, he's pastoring a church, preaching the Word of God Sunday morning and Sunday night, and winning lost people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was educated? Because he was talented? Because he had ability? No! It's because he came to God and said, God, here am I. Use me. Years ago, Francis Asbury, who was a young Christian, worked with a carpenter, or not a carpenter, but a blacksmith. The blacksmith asked Francis one day, he said, are you a Christian? And he says, I suppose I am. He said, all the kids at school call me parson, which is another word for preacher. And he said, I don't steal, don't curse. And the blacksmith quickly told him, he said, there's more to being a Christian than just that. Being a Christian is having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Francis Asbury said, I've never heard that. And the blacksmith who was teaching this young man invited him to his church. And he went to his church. He came home after going to that church, and he came into his mother. And he said, Mother, I have never seen a church like that in all of my life. He said, you know, the man prayed, and he didn't even read out of a prayer book. And said, you know, this fella got up there, and Mother, he didn't talk. He actually preached. And said, you know, while I was sitting there, he said, he was preaching the message, and some of the people in the congregation actually shouted, Amen! And he said, if they'd have done that at our church, his wig would have fell off. Amen? And he said, when they finished, they gave a call where people came down to the altar to be saved. And he said, Mother, I don't know much about it, but he said, I know there's something there that I need. It wasn't many Sundays until Francis went back to that church, until he saw his need of the Lord Jesus Christ, came to the front and received him as his Savior. John Wesley came and preached after making a trip to America. And John Wesley said, America is an untouched mission field, with people needing the Lord Jesus Christ. John Wesley began to preach as only he could preach and challenge the people to give their lives to come to America to be a witness. In the middle of that message, Wesley got preaching and he said, souls without him are dying. People need to have the witness. Who will go? Who will tell them? Right in the middle of that message with a packed auditorium, Francis Asbury raised up to his feet and he said, I'll go! I'll go! I'll go! Suddenly he realized he was the only person standing in the building. He looked around and thought himself to be a fool. But God had so gripped his heart. God had so worked on him that the message had taken him in such a way that right in the middle he stood and exclaimed that he would go. After the message, he came to Wesley. And he said, I'm sorry to have embarrassed you. He said, you didn't embarrass me. He said, did you mean what you said? And he said, I did. Francis Asbury became one of the greatest missionaries. He preached over 17,000 sermons in his life. Thousands of people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of him. Who was he? A little apprentice blacksmith. A little boy that had one day heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he made himself available. Availability is an ability that all of us can have. The next ability is excitability. I'm not even sure this is a word, but it's a good point. Amen. Excitability. Do you know some of us need to get a little bit more excited over the religion and salvation that we have? Do you know it doesn't hurt you to say amen every now and then? People get the idea that when they come into church, you have to have some kind of a sanctified, holier-than-thou attitude and sit there with their hands folded, and they've been around traditional, dead, dried-up churches so long that they think they got to come to church and endure it instead of enjoy it. They feel like they can't say anything. They feel like only the preacher can talk, and they come in there and get done, walk out the door. Everybody looks like they're dying. They look like they're dead. And I'll tell you, they're waiting for one thing. That's to get out. Amen? Have you ever been to those churches? I've been there. They wonder, what time is it over? Well, listen, bud, don't worry about what time is it over. We're just starting, amen? Don't worry about it finish. That bothers me. Somebody said, well, what time do you finish? How long will this last? It'll last till I get done, amen? You get done before I do, I suppose you know where the door's at. You found it when you came in, amen? Excitability, excitability. People say, well, you've got to watch out about that excitability. Oh, yeah, sure you do, sure. You'll get people too stirred up. Don't tell me, man. Don't tell me. I haven't preached many places, but I preach in a lot of churches. I've been in a lot of churches. And I'll tell you, American Christianity doesn't have to fear getting too excited for God. You know, preachers have often stood up. Well, you've got to watch that kind of thing. You'll get wild and carried away in the flesh. Oh, people, you know, preachers are kind of dumb sometimes. Amen? I've heard them preach long. Oh, you've got to watch it. People will get so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You ever heard a preacher say that? Say amen. I think he's telling me and you a story. Amen. Have you had? I've been looking for them people. Amen. I've been looking for people that were so heavenly minded they were no earthly good. And I haven't found many of them yet. Amen. I found a lot of them so earthly minded they wasn't no heavenly good. I tell you that. I found a lot of them so wrapped up in this world didn't look like there's any good in heaven. People say you've got to beware of emotionalism. No, you got to beware of death. Amen. People in this world today, the curse upon Christianity is a dead, lifeless, dried up Christianity where you have to come in and you're frozen, cold, dying, starving, and dead, and they don't know it. Churches in America, well, you say, well, you can't stir people up. You just can't. You don't have to worry about getting people too stirred up, man. What are you talking about? You set a keg of dynamite under some of them, it wouldn't move them. You couldn't do anything to move. I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about Dr. Ruckman. I'm talking about Lester Roloff. I'm talking about all of them. I've sat and watched them preach. I've sat and listened to some of the greatest messages that ever came from God upon high. And I've sat some of the Christians sit there and just watch. You know, their theme song is, I shall not be moved. I mean, that's their theme song. You ain't going to move them. The Bible said many are called and few are chosen. Where I've been, some of them are cold and a lot of them are frozen. Amen. Excitability. Well, I wonder why we can't bring more people into church. I wonder why nobody will come to church. Did you ever see anybody anxious to jump on a sinking ship? Did you ever see anybody do it? Did you ever see a ship out there sinking people? Oh, yeah, I want to get on that thing. Hey, nobody anxious to get on a sinking ship, amen? And when you look at American Christianity today, it looks like it's going down for the last time. Why? I tell you why. Because God's people have lost the joy of their salvation. You know what the Bible said? I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Now, the original Greek means that makes God sick. Don't argue with me about what it means. I just told you what it means. Amen. God said, you make me sick. When he looks around on American Christianity today, I'm sure it just makes him sick. Watches some of these bunch of pious hypocrites who come out here to Bible Baptist Church, a bunch of holy rollers out there, bunch of loud people jumping up and walking around and running around shouting amen, bunch of them in the flesh. Like to see you, honey, on Friday night, amen? Like to see you at your favorite football game. I like to see you sitting in front of the idiot box watching your favorite program and watching you getting excited over that, amen? The world can get excited over what thrills them. Don't tell me to cut it off. You wasting your air, bud. I don't know but one way to do it, and that's to do it all the way. I don't care. Somebody, well, you're not supposed to be emotional. The day I stop and lose my emotion, throw a little dirt in my face, I'll be dead. Amen? Take it easy. People say, well, you just got to watch and restrain. You know, the Bible said, awake, thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead. The Bible said, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Somebody said, what can I do for God? Get excited. Hey, man, I don't mean something not real. I don't mean something worked up in the flesh. I don't mean something jibber-jabber jumping up there. I don't mean something like that. But I mean something that's real for the Lord. Now, you people are emotional, aren't you? Huh? There's times when you cry, isn't it? Huh? I mean, when they cancel your favorite program for a new special, doesn't that just break your little heart in two? Huh? There's times when you get excited, isn't it? When you go to the football game and he throws that touchdown pass in the last 5 seconds. Ah! He said, you're nutty. Uh-uh. They're the ones that are nutty. You say, well, you shouldn't get like that. Well, they shouldn't get like that either.
That's right.
Listen, if you're saved, you have something to be excited about, amen? Well, you got some kind of dumbbell or something, man? You ought to be home crying, weeping, repenting, turning to God. Excitability. Some of you never been excited about God a day in your life. Some of you never been excited about the things of God a day in your life. Now listen, I enjoy life. I enjoy sports and activities. I enjoy getting out there and playing. I enjoy winning. And if I say don't enjoy winning, they're a big liar. Say, well, we just play for the fun of it. Yeah, you play for the fun, but when you win, it makes it nice, don't it? Amen? I thought so, yes. If you thought you'd never going to win, I bet there'd be very few ever come out and play. I enjoy it. And listen, ain't nobody going to holler no more than me. I can't even hardly go to the women's games without hollering my fool head off. Get the ball, you big dummy. What are you doing out there? Trying to help them dear hearts, amen? I mean, trying to show them how much I love them. I enjoy going fishing, man. I go out there and catch me a big speckled trout. Woo! I say that. But I tell you what, I'm not going to be a hypocrite about it. I come to church and something blesses my heart. I'm going to go, woo! Amen. Amen. You look at me, because you're a bunch of hypocrites, amen? You don't ever get excited? You don't ever get stirred up? That's what's wrong with some of you tonight. That's what's wrong with some of you. That's where the sin is lying at the door tonight for some of you here. You can get excited about everything but God. And I've often knelt and prayed and said, Lord, don't let the day ever come when I can get more excited about anything on this earth than your work.
I tell you, every time before I get ready to preach, my old stomach starts turning, my heart starts jumping. Somebody said, well, you're moving around so much. I just can't wait to get going. Amen. I like to preach. Amen. I enjoy it. I enjoy preaching the Word of God. I think it's the greatest privilege that any man ever had on the face of this earth. Now, tell you, don't tell me not to get excited. Just save your breath, honey. Just keep it to yourself, all right? Excite ability. We say, well, you shouldn't preach that way. You and Dr. Ruckman, you just purposely try to stir people up. You right, amen? He said, well, Christians don't need that. You never seen many Christians, amen? Excite ability. They told old Billy Bray, a Cornish miner, they said, you're a madman. I said, I'm not a madman, I'm just a glad man. He said, I made up my mind a long time ago, I'm going to have a heaven while I'm on the way to heaven, amen? Every time somebody gets saved, old Billy Bray would shout and praise the Lord. When his wife died, he sat there and said, praise the Lord. She's went home to be with the angels. Somebody said, Billy, said, you don't have to be so loud. Said, God isn't deaf. And he said, neither is the devil. But he said, I hear their people making plenty of noise, and I will too. Amen. Excite ability. Not only that, durability. Durability. The Lord gave us a command to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. To endure something means to last, stay in there, in spite of the wear and in spite of the tear. Many of God's people today have no durability in their life. Richard Gernwald was an old Puritan preacher, said, don't be a Christian halfway. Be one all the way. Billy Sunday, when he preached, said, we need a revival in America among God's people. And we need a revival of stickability, where God's people will stick to the job that God has given them to do. Durability. Can you endure hardness? You know what we need? We need more Christians who are soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can believe it or not, the preachers have done more to knock Christians out of the race than any other group of people.
Yeah,
you hear a preacher say, now you get saved and everything will just be fine. Now, thank you, brother. Hallelujah. I wish I could tell you that. I wish I could say that. I wish I could say, well, you just get saved and everything will be hunky-dory. It'll all be fine, man. Just a bed of roses, just float on. And listen, some of you had more trouble and as much trouble since you've been saved than you had before. Listen, this world is full of troubles. Getting saved, you just change from one category to another. You got somebody to bear them for you. That's the difference. When you're saved, you got the Lord Jesus Christ to take care of them. And when you're lost, you don't have him. A lot of preachers have stood up and put Christianity, a kind of a nice, soft, effeminate little thing, and just rosy and just fine. And, you know, they've tiptoed out and said, something good is going to happen to you today. I got news for you. Something bad will probably happen before something good. Amen. They presented a Christianity that is not a Bible Christianity. And I wish tonight that I could tell you getting saved will guarantee all your problems will be gone. But listen, as a Christian, there's times in this life where you'll have to grit your spiritual teeth. You'll have to, by the grace of God, get up and go on and stick with it. Push forward, march forward, go forward, or you fall flat on your face and never get up again. It's not all a bed of roses. It's not all a mountaintop experience. That's what some of you never learn. All of you looking for a mountain all the time. You're looking to be glory, hallelujah, bless God, bless you, Jesus. But the Christian life is not all mountains, and it's not all valleys. It's a lot of plateaus where you just press on and go on and keep going for God. Some of you never got that balance in your life. He's on the mountain, he's on the valley. It's not all mountains, it's not all valleys. There's middle ground. There's time when you got to be consistent. You got to endure hardness. You got to push on and go on. God help us to be able to endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. Some of them falling out of the race. Listen, the road of life is full of Christian wrecks who have fell down instead of getting up, have quit and stayed there. The only reason any Christian ever does anything for God is because they learn to endure hardness as a good soldier. Durability. God deliver us from this sissy Christianity that we have today. And I'm going to leave the church. Why? Brother Jim didn't shake my hand today. I was going to say Dr. Ruckman didn't shake my hand. He never shake nobody's hand. Amen. Well, you know Dr. Ruckman, he just don't ever speak to nobody. You ain't been listening much, bud. Been doing a lot of talking to me, amen. A lot of stomping to me, man. He been kicking me real good. Somebody say, well, he needs to come to the door and greet people after church. What, so you can just smooth over convictions? Is that what you want? Somebody preach at you real hard and then come to the door and say, well, it's really all right. I love you anyway. It's by your sins. Is that what you mean? See, you think he does stuff just to be that way. He's a little bit smarter than some of you ever thought about being. Some of you not dumb, some of you not smart enough to even be as smart as his dumbness, amen? Yeah, he just don't talk to people. Yeah, he wants God to talk to you, that's why. Right. Preachers preach a hard message and then come to the door and shake your little hand and pat you on the back and wipe your nose and give you a little sugar tip to help you along the way so you'll be back next Sunday. You know, sometime in your life, you're supposed to grow up. Sometime in your life, you're supposed to become a Christian that comes to church because you love God and want to worship God and want to serve God. And if you get fed the Word of God, go out the door and give glory to God instead of griping. Yeah, I just don't think I'll go back at church anymore. Good. Find you another one, amen. Well, I just don't know. They just don't have the right attitude around there. They just seem to think that this religion, I just never did believe in talking about somebody. Go on somewhere else, you sissy. Amen. Go on somewhere else. You say, well, I don't want to go to a church where they just believe like I do. Fine, just find you one dummy. There's hundreds of them in town. Amen. Amen. Endurance. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what is, you know, somebody said, well, just Dr. Ruckman, he's just a little bit more friendly. He just talked to you a little bit more. You know what he's trying to show you? He's trying to show you the Christian life is not you and the pastor. A Christian life is you and God. You and God. People say, well, why when they come to the altar, don't you jump down there and pray with every one of them? I'll pray if anybody wants me to pray. I'll stay here as long as your problem is. I'll talk to you. I'll go in the office with you. And if you say I won't, you're the biggest liar that ever lived. Thank you. Amen and amen. But say, why they come? Why, most of the problems they got are between them and the Lord. If they want us to know and want us to hear, we'd be glad to pray and deal with them. Why don't you grow up? Bible said that Paul said, when I was a child, I speak as a child, act as a child. When I became a man, I put away those things. I got rid of them. All of Christianity is not nice. It's not soft. It's not rosy. Oh, there's some mountains. Praise God for the mountains. Amen. I tell you, those mountains just keep us going. They keep us moving. See, we get out there in the plateau, we look back down and say, oh man, that's good. Hallelujah. Got to be another one right on up the road. Amen. But those mountains are there to encourage you and keep you along. But you know what most of Christian life is? Just getting up in the morning, reading your Bible, and praying. You don't feel like it. Do it anyway. You say, well, just, you know what it is? It's just pushing and plodding right along. Some of the greatest Christians that God ever had were nothing but plodders. Well, they never had no talent, no ability. They just endured. You know, when William Carey went to the mission field, his father asked him, he said, son, what can you do? Said, you have no talent, no real education, what can you do? He said, Dad, I don't guess I can do nothing but just get out there and plod along for God. You know what I did? He just kept plodding, plodding. Became one of the greatest souls that ever walked across the face of this earth. Durability, the last ability that all of us can have is dependability. Dependability. You know, it doesn't take any brains to be dependable. You don't have to be good looking. to be dependable. You don't have to be talented to be dependable. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived, Bob Jones Sr., said that the greatest ability is dependability. I never thought about that. I thought about it a lot. You know, there has to be dependability in every area of life. Our government could not operate without dependability. You want to know why it's on shaky grounds? I'll tell you why. We've got some men you can't depend on. We've got some men in there liars. I mean, if what came out in Watergate came out, what do you think is still going on? You silly enough to think that's all that happened? They just let you in a little bit that went on. You silly enough to think it quit? You got a joke played on you, amen? Human nature never changed. Old people are not to change. Listen, as long as the money keeps a coming out, the people there will be the same. You know, in your job, there has to be some dependability. You know, most of the jobs you work, if you'll just be there every day, that guy will keep you on the job. You know why? Can't do no work, you're not there. Now write that down. Isn't that smart? I mean, man, you talk about theology. I got it, amen. I had some brains. You never seen nothing like that, amen. I teach theology. You'll find out why. I'll come up them wild ones like that. If you're not there, you can't work. You know what? Most of the guys that are hiring people on the job, you know what to say? Want somebody to be there. They'll fire you quicker for laying out than anything else. Why? They want somebody that's dependable. Let me tell you, this church, whatever church you're a member of, you're not a member of our church tonight, this church, your church, cannot operate without some people that you can depend upon. Suppose Dr. Ruckman, he's gone today. It's my Sunday to preach. I said, I'll tell you what, I like to preach, but speckled trout are running. And this is one of the prettiest days we've had. Isn't it a beautiful day? I thought about it, I'll tell you. And suppose I just wrote a note to my wife and she brought it. And brought a tape recorder and one of my tapes. And said, Brother Jim won't be here today. He had another call. Amen. But here's a tape. And I hope you get a blessing. Well, I hope that you'd get upset. Amen. Hope you'd be searching for another man to take my place. Now listen. Thank you, Homer. Amen. Stick around me, buddy. Amen. But then let me tell you. You have to have it. And it's just not this pulpit. I'll tell you what we try to do at this church more than any other church is make you a part of the service. Say, why don't you have a choir? Because we want you to be the choir. Why do you encourage people to say amen? Because we don't want you just to sit there and be a spectator. We're not putting on a program. This is a church service. You're coming here to get preach and get taught something from the Word to be part of it. We want you to be part of it. I'm going to tell you something. This church, Bible Baptist Church, be no better than the people that are in it. What if everybody gave to this church as much as you give? We don't even say much about giving. Matter of fact, we take up the offering. Don't even say nothing about giving then. But the Lord wants you to give. Wants you to give cheerfully. What if everybody gave as much as you did? What if everybody was as faithful in every service as you're faithful? You don't hear much about that here. God wants you to be faithful. God wants you to. Somebody said, well, I couldn't make it. You couldn't make it. That's between you and the Lord. What if everybody witnessed as much as you witnessed? What if everybody passed out as many tracts as you passed out? What if everybody invited as many people to come to church as you do? What kind of church would you have? You know, that is the question. Can God depend upon you? You know what God could do with his servant Job? He could depend on him. The devil came up there and said, touch him, he'll curse you. Lord said, go ahead, took his family, took his possessions, and finally touched him, took his wife from him. And all this, Job did not sin with his mouth, neither did he charge God foolishly. Oh, you say he's a little self-righteous. Yes, he was. And I tell you what, God could depend on him staying true to him. You know what God said about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He said, I can depend on them boys. The devil said, they're awful young. The Lord said, I know they are. He said, they've been brought up right. The devil said, I think if old Nebuchadnezzar sets up an image, those three boys will hit the ground like the rest of them. The Lord said, uh-uh. Not them boys. He said, they got a little something in them. Make them stand up straight. The devil said, I think they would if you just tried them. The Lord said, go ahead. So the devil came down and said, Nebuchadnezzar put up an image. And Nebuchadnezzar, he listened to the devil, did what he did, set up an image. Sure enough, those three Hebrew children stood tall for God. They learned that if they stood by the God of the book, the God of the book would stand by them. He could count on them. When he needed somebody to stand true, he could count on them. Can God depend upon you? Many of us tonight will never have the brains that other people have. A lot of people, I think, they come here and think that maybe I should know everything that Dr. Ruckman knows. I got news for you. I don't. I never could do it. I'm not a scholar. I never pretended to be a scholar. Never wanted to be a scholar. Some people think that you have to have. You don't have to have the brains that somebody else does. Some of us don't have the ability that other people do. But I'll tell you one thing that every one of us can do. We can be dependable. You can be somebody God can count on. You may never preach like other men can preach. You may never win the souls that other preachers win. You may never pastor a church as some other men. You may never have a gift for witnessing to other people, making friends like other people. You may not have the intelligence or the knowledge that others have, and you may never be able to sing or lead a choir, play a musical instrument. I tell you what you can be. You can be dependable. You can be somebody God can count on. These are some abilities that all of us can have. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Availability. Come to the Lord and to make ourselves available for His work. Some of you tonight, you need to come. Some of you know God wants you to do something. You need to say yes to Him. Excitability. Some of us need to be stirred. We need to be moved. We need to be moved for God. Durability. Some of us need to learn what it is to stick with it. We need to learn that when the going gets rough, that it's time for us to get going too. We need to learn what it is to stay by the stuff. We need to learn what it is to not always want it just right. Not always want it just real convenient. Not always look for it to just be so-so, because it won't always be. General Booth, that great Christian soldier, in his last years lost his eyesight. His son came to him and he said, Father, the doctor said you've lost your eyesight and you'll never see again. Booth reached out and took the hand of his son and he said, you mean I'll never see your face again? And his son said, no, Dad, not in this world. And his tears ran out of those eyes that could no longer see. Booth told his son, he said, I've done for God and these people what I could with my eyes. Now, I'll do for God and these people what I can without my eyes. You know what he had? Durability. God give us some of the durability that Huss, the Bohemian martyr, had, was burned at the stake for believing in the infallibility of the Scriptures. They led him there and asked him to recant. Huss looked him in the face and said, "I came not hither to deny my Lord. What I have taught with my lips, I now seal with my blood." You know what he had? He had durability. He had endurance. He didn't let just every little thing knock him out of the race. He didn't let things, just because they didn't go the way he wanted them, keep him from serving God. Stuck with it. Maybe the greatest of all is an ability that every one of us can have. And dependability. At times, when I look at other men and what they can do, I get very discouraged. At times, I've got very defeated. I've seen other men who are so smart, and I knew I'd never be as smart as them. I've seen other men preach, and I just sat there, and my heart literally break in two, and wish to God that I could preach like them. I've seen other men become some of the greatest soul winners that God has ever seen. Talented, smart, and ability. There's been many a time when I fell on my knees and said, "Lord, I just don't have it. I don't. When I look at myself, I see nothing, a zero. What can I ever do?" The Lord said, "I'll tell you what you can do. Just be dependable. Be somebody I can count on. When you do something, do the best you can. When you've done that, you'll do what I want you to do." Now, Father, tonight, take the truthfulness of this message and impress it on the heart of every person that's here tonight. Lord, many of these people that are here tonight, when it comes to abilities, they're like me. I mean, when I really look at my life, Lord, I don't see anything, any ability, any talent above an average person that I ever had. But Lord, help me not to sit there and moan and groan. Don't let the devil take that and use it. But Lord, help every one of us to see that we can have these abilities tonight. We can come and say, "Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, here am I. Use me." Lord, we can get excited about your work and about people being saved. And get excited about teaching and preaching and witnessing and passing out tracts. Lord, we can have durability. Maybe by our endurance, it'd be a testimony to others. Like those that have endured hardness in the past have been a testimony to us. And God, we can have dependability. Help us to see, Lord, all you want is our best. Help us tonight to have a desire to put these abilities in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. What number is it? 368 in your hymnal. Some already come to kneel and pray. Or to read. Some of the others will be here at the front. If you'd like somebody to pray with you. Be some man, Brother Neidlinger over here. My wife, Mrs. Ruckman, Ms. Neidlinger. Williams, his wife, several of them here that'll be glad to pray with you if you want somebody to. Stop making excuses. Stop justifying yourself. Stop sitting around and complaining about what you can't do. And get busy doing what you can. You know, the devil used that just like anything else. The devil just come to you, "You can't do this, you can't do that." Okay, you can't. Tough apples. Find something you can do and do it. Now, if you're saved, you know what that Bible said? You read it with your own eyes. You saw it. The Bible says if you're saved, you have a job to do. Are you doing it? How about it? If you're not, come and praise. We sing together. 368. Great old song. Have I done my best for Jesus? On the first one. I wonder. If you need to come, come on right now. You got these abilities in your life? How about it? About it, Christian, right now. Lord wants to use some of you. Will you let him? You make yourself available. about it tonight? Sing the second, think about the words. The hours that I have wasted are so many. The Lord's got a place for you. Will you take it? I've got a job for you. Will you do it? Many are the lost that I have lifted. How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I, when He has done so much for me, sing on the third while they pray. I wonder, have I, you need to come, come on. Let's bow our heads just as the organ plays softly. This song here, the song alone, gets me under conviction without anything else to be done. I sing that chorus. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? That's what the Lord wants you to do. The Lord doesn't ask you to do anything you can't do. You know, that's one thing good about